mystic powers, antaradana, disappearing, adbhuta, wonderful, atmanam, of the body, mayam, the demon named Maya, prakalpya, making, vatsam, the calf, te, they, duduhu, milked out, dharanamayim, proceeding from will. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Others also, the inhabitants of planets known as Kimpurush Loka, made the demon Maya into a calf, and they milked out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said that the inhabitants of Kimpurush Loka can perform many wonderful mystic demonstrations. In other words, they can exhibit as many wonderful things as one can imagine. The inhabitants of this planet can do whatever they like or whatever they imagine. Such powers are also mystic powers. The possession of such mystic power is called ishita. The demons generally learn such mystic powers by the practice of yoga. In the Dasama Skanda, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a vivid description of how the demons appear before Krishna in various wonderful forms. For instance, Bakasura appeared before Krishna and his cowherd friends, boyfriends, as a gigantic crane. While present on this planet, Lord Krishna had to fight with many demons who could exhibit the wonderful mystic powers of Kimpurush Loka. Although the inhabitants of Kimpurush Loka are naturally endowed with such powers, one can attain these powers on this planet by performing different yogic practices. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Savitam Dhyena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Karamaya Dadanti Swapadanti Kam. First of all, I offer my most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of my Diksha Guru, Paramaradya Parampujapad Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai. Then again, I want to offer my obeisances unto all of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis present here today, my Dandavat Pranams. So, there are so many important points here in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. First of all, one point is, at the end he says, the inhabitants of Kimpurush Loka are naturally endowed with such mystic powers. So the other day when I gave class, I was talking about how the subtle body carries the soul to the next gross body, and how if you do not remove the anarthas, then you will carry them with you to your next body. So here we see that persons who develop mystic powers in this life, they will get chance to be born on Kimpurush Loka, where they will be born with mystic powers. They will be naturally endowed. Those who have great desire for such mystic powers, who have developed some ability for such mystic powers, they will be born in a place where they are endowed with them from birth. But, again, when this body is finished in that particular lifetime, when their body is finished in Kimpurusha Loka, again, they will have to take birth on the earth plane, and they will have to start over again. So temporarily, it is like some holiday. In the material world, you work very hard. You make a lot of money. You put money in the bank. Then with this money, you go on a vacation to Hawaii. There you sit on the beach, you drink nice heavenly drinks, persons come and massage you, they bring your food, you have no work to do, you go swimming, you enjoy. But when the money runs out, what happens to the vacation? Finished. Then again, back to Mumbai, working very hard. So this is what it's like to go to heaven or Kimpurushvasa or some another place. You work very hard here, you develop so many good karma in the bank account, then you go to heaven and you enjoy. Then after enjoying all the mystic powers, all these things, then again, Purnamasika Bhava. Again you will become mouse. Again you will come to this world. You know this story, Purnamasika Bhava? Who knows? Few know, not everyone knows. So I will tell, Purnamasika Bhava. One mouse, he was being chased by the cat. So he was in the forest, he went into an underground tunnel, he came up, there was one rishi in the forest sitting there. So he said, "Oh, Maha Rishi, Pranam, you please help me. Cat is chasing me. You please help me, you make me cat." Rishi said, "Okay, you become cat." So then he was cat, then dog was chasing. Oh, and he came to Rishi, "Rishi, dog is chasing me. You please make me dog so I can not be chased by dog anymore." "Okay, you become dog." Then he's wandering in the forest, one tiger was coming, so he ran. "Oh Rishi, please help me, tiger is coming to eat me, make me into tiger." "Okay, now you are tiger." Then the tiger was standing before the Rishi and he was saying, "You look like very good meal, maybe I think I will eat you today." "Oh, now I have made you tiger, you want to eat me? Purnamasika Bhava." Again you become mouse. So when one becomes too proud, then Krishna again makes you mouse. So in this Kimpurusha Loka, people have many powerful mystic powers. And people do yoga practices in order to develop these mystic powers. Sisi Gaur Nithai Ki,
Sisi Aravasati Hari Ji Ki, Sisi Ram Lakshman Janaki Hanuman Ki.
So, by these yoga practices you can develop many mystic powers. It is stated in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam that the yogis can become very powerful and they can enter into the ether. And when they enter into the ether with their subtle body, all sound vibrations in the whole universe, all the talking that is going on, and even the thoughts and the minds of every living entity are floating in the ether. So all of these things are in the ether. People's thoughts, people's conversations, discussions, they're all floating in the ether. So when the yogi enters into the ether, oh, then he can understand what everyone is discussing everywhere in the universe, what they are thinking everywhere, and so they can say to you, "Oh yes, I know what you are thinking, I know what you are talking about, I understand what you said yesterday," because they are able to see all this. They can become Trikalagana. They can see past, present and future, like Narada Muni. They can become very powerful. Before they get to this stage of being able to appear and disappear and get such powers, The first stage of their power is called disappearing. It is called hypnotism. They hypnotize you to think that they have the powers that they want to get in the future. There was one British journalist. He witnessed a man who was playing on the Chennai. Then one rope came out of the basket and went into the air. Then the man climbed the rope and disappeared, and the rope disappeared. So next day the journalist came with camera, film camera, to film it. So again he watched, same thing. Chennai playing, rope going up, climbing the rope, then disappearing. So he filmed the whole procedure. So he came back to England to develop the film, that now I have evidence how the mystic yogi is doing this. So they played the film, but in playing the film, only he saw the man playing Chennai. Whole time, man is playing Chennai, nothing is happening. No rope is coming, no one is climbing the rope, no one is disappearing. Only it is simply Chennai playing. Dhanavad Maharaj. Haribo. So, what had happened, the man kept saying, but I saw. He had been hypnotized by the Chennai playing. One sur was played. So the man was hypnotized and he thought that he saw the rope going up and the people climbing the rope. So like this, the first level is actually hypnotizing. Then one enters into higher levels where he's able to actually disappear and appear. He's able to enter into the ether. He's able to understand the conversations and minds of everyone in the universe. He's able to understand the past, the present, and the future. All these things are there. So, when Krishna talks about, he describes all of these things in the 11th canto to Uddhava. And Srila Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu that for one who attains pure devotional service, then all of the mystic powers, bhukti, liberation, bhukti, material sense gratification, mukti, liberation, and the mystic powers, they wait like, they become maidservants to that devotee who has developed bhakti. They become maidservants of bhakti, handmaidens of bhakti. That means that the pure devotee has access to all such mystic powers. Nothing is kept from the power of the pure devotee. He can access anything, whatever he likes. This description is given in the discussion between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavat. When Vyasadeva is lamenting that I cannot understand, I am somewhat depressed, I have written all the Vedas, Puranas, everything, but I am not happy. So he was somewhat depressed, somewhat unhappy. So he was trying to search out, what is my unhappiness? At that time, Narada Muni appeared. So in the prayer to Narada Muni when he appears, who is his guru, Vyasadeva's guru, Vyasadeva says that you are antar-chara-sakshi. Antar-chara-sakshi. Antar means inner, chara chamber. Sakshi, witness. That just like the witness, the super soul, who is in the antarcha, the inner chamber of the heart, you have understood my mind and my heart, and you have come here to give me advice. So this is indicative of what is the power of the pure devotee. I told you the story the other day, how Srila Prabhupada said, for a greatly advanced pure devotee, he can know what is in the hearts of all of his disciples and in every temple. He knows. So here this is confirmed by Vyasadeva in this verse. Antachara Shakshi. You are just like the super soul within the heart. You understand what is going on within my heart. Therefore you have come here to give me your guidance, even though you are at a distant place. So very, very important to understand What is the power of the pure devotee? Actually, Gurudas, you know my god brother Gurudas, he tells one story of the power of the pure devotee, what he is capable of doing. When he was with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, he went up on the roof where Prabhupada had his room, and Srila Prabhupada came out and they were talking. It was late in the night. Just the two of them were there together. Then Srila Prabhupada was talking with him about some different things. Then Srila Prabhupada looked out. At that time in Mayapur, there were no buildings. Just few temples. Srila Prabhupada had Lotus Building. Then there was Yogpeet. A couple of other his godbrothers had temples. But everything as far as you could see in every direction was simply farmland. And rice was growing everywhere. But there had been a big drought. For a long time, no rain had come. So Srila Prabhupada was looking out over the land. And he was looking and he said, suddenly he turned to Gurudas and he said, the farmers, they're all praying for rain. How Prabhupada knows? Because Antachara Shakshi, he is like the Super Soul. He can enter into the ether and understand the conversations and prayers of everyone in the universe. Therefore, he could hear the prayers of everyone. They are praying, Krishna, we want rain. Krishna, we need rain. Everyone was praying. And so Prabhupada said, the farmers, they are all praying for rain. So then Gurudas said that Prabhupada lifted his hand like this and he went, let them have it. And when he put his hand down, he said a big lightning bolt, it burst out of the sky. And it hit the clouds and thunder rolled across the sky and then the rain came so heavy, so heavy. So it is said, like this, that the Sarvadeva Maya Guru, that the Guru is Sarvadeva, the sum total of all the Devas. The Devas are at the beck and call of a sadhu like Srila Prabhupada. Simply by moving his hand and saying, let it rain, the rain has come. This is the power of Satsadhu. Did Srila Prabhupada go to Himalayas and stand on his head and do mystic yoga for so many years to get such power? No. It was there available to him by his pure bhakti. Because he was the pure servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, therefore all of the mystic powers remained as maid servants at his lotus feet and were ready to serve him at any moment. Srila Prabhupada had so much affection for Mayapur, and so he wanted to see that there were good crops coming so that everyone had abundance, so he blessed them. Okay, you are praying like this, I will give you. Here is rain. So like this, Srila Prabhupada, he had concern even for all the farmers of Mayapur. He had concern for everyone. The sadhu, he has affection for everyone in the whole world. It is said that when people go to the holy places, they take bath in the river, they do different parikram, they do different worship, and they leave all their sinful activities there in the dam and in the river. Then the sadhu, he walks on the holy dam, he takes bath in the river, and he takes up all of those sinful sins that have been left there. And then he burns them up by the power of his Shuddh Bhakti. So how powerful is the sadhu that he is even purifying the holy dam of the sins which are being left there? This is the power of a Shuddh Bhakta like Srila Prabhupada. So, in this purport also, Prabhupada talks about how so many demons appeared during the time of Lord and these demons had human-like forms and then they could make other kinds of forms as is being described here, appearing and disappearing in any form that one could imagine. So, This was the power of the many demons. These demons, they come only here in the Bhoomlila, when Krishna is traveling from universe to universe to do his pastimes. Then at that time, the demons, they appear to the cowherd boys, and Krishna has to protect the cowherd boys. Actually, in Goloka, in the spiritual world, no demons come. They're thinking the demons will come, and so they take shelter of Krishna. But no demons appear. But here in the Bhoomlila, demons actually come. And the demons come, and Krishna removes the fear and anxiety of his devotees by killing these demons. So, actually, Srila Prabhupada explains that Brajendranandan Shyam, Krishna of Vrindavan, the son of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, he never kills the demons. So who is killing the demons? The demons are being killed by Vishnu. How Vishnu enters there into Krishna is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for Krishna to be their son. And Yasoda and Nanda prayed also for Krishna to be their son. So, Vasudeva and Devaki, when they prayed that we want God to be our son. So therefore, first Vishnu manifests with four arms. Then they requested that you please become our baby. Then he comes in the two-arm form. Then Vasudev takes this two-arm form of Krishna to Braj. When he arrives in Braj, Yasoda is lying there on the bed. But Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the 10th canto, that according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasoda has given birth to twins. She has given birth to Subhadra, Yogamaya, and she has given birth to Brajendranandan Shyam, two-armed Krishna, because she is only interested in having Krishna as her baby. She is not thinking that Krishna is God. She is only thinking that Krishna is her son. So she has prayed only for Krishna to become her son. Krishna in his original two-armed form in Goloka. So when Vasudev comes and he looks on the bed, in this purport, Prabhupada explains that he only sees Yogamaya. He doesn't see two-armed form of Krishna. Then he places the two-armed form of baby Krishna that was originally Vishnu on the bed. That form of Vishnu enters into Krishna. Now Vishnu is there within Krishna. Now when Krishna is fighting with the demons, the Vishnu form is killing the demons. Shyam is not killing the demons. Vrajendranandan Shyam never kills any demons. The Vishnu form of Krishna that Vasudev brought and placed on the bed, he is killing the demons. Prabhupada explains this in that purport in 10th canto. So, in this way, we understand that these demons come, and these demons, they have come for the purpose of creating fear in Braj. And Krishna, he defeats each demon, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the destruction of each demon has a significant meaning, a very significant meaning. Each demon represents something. Putana represents the bogus guru. And Prabhupada here is talking about Bakasura. There are so many demons, he could have chosen any demon, but he particularly uses the name of Bakasura. Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Baki Rupi, the Bakasura demon represents cheating religion. So these bogus persons who practice mystic yoga, who practice yoga in order to get mystic powers, they are in cheating religion. If you practice bhakti to to try and attain mystic powers, then this is cheating religion. If you worship an unqualified person, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just like we see there is one person, he is displaying many mystic powers, and he is saying, I am Krishna. And the people are worshipping him like Krishna. They are unqualified persons who do not understand what is true and what is not true. And so the worship that is supposed to be given to an exalted personality like Srila Prabhupada is being given to such a bogus person who is saying, I am Krishna. Many of you here may be too young to remember, but in 1978, just after Srila Prabhupada left, one great magician named P.C. Sakar, who is actually a Siddha and who knows how to do many mystic yogas, he exposed this so-called Krishna in South India. He exposed him. He went there dressed as a very humble person, acting like an ordinary villager, and sat and listened to this man's lecture. Then at the end of the man's lecture, he went up to him and he said, Oh Baba, you please bless me. Give me some prasadi I can take to my relatives back in the village in Bengal. You please help me. Yes, yes, Baba said. And went like this, gave some rasgulla. So P.C. Sakar took the rasgulla and said, Oh, thank you, Baba. I appreciate so much. And here's rasgulla for you. And he made with his mystic power rasgulla for Baba. Then Baba became very angry. Oh, you think you can do? Watch what I make this. And whatever he made, P.C. Sakar also made. In this way, there was some competition. He was making this, making that. And each time he made something, Sakar made the same exact thing and gave him. Like this. So then, he became very angry. Baba told him, You are simply a magician. You are acting, you are making something, you are just a magician. Sakar said, yes, I know. I know I am a magician. And I advertise, I am a magician. P.C. Sakar, magician. But you, rascal, are saying you are Bhagwan. But you are nothing but a cheap magician. I know what you are. He told like this. So in this way, he exposed him. It was in newspapers. In 1978 or 79, it was in newspaper everywhere. I remember reading, I was living with Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, we were reading it. I told him, look what has come in the paper, this thing, this person is Gaura Govinda Maharaj was laughing, yes, these rascals must be exposed. So, this is called cheating religion, When you are unqualified and you do not understand what is correct and what is incorrect, what is proper and what is improper, so you give worship to some person of this quality who is saying, I am Krishna, I am this, I am that, instead of worshipping the proper exalted Vaishnavas like Srila Prabhupada. So this is cheating religion. And Srila Prabhupada is using Bakasura because those persons who worship other people with mystic powers, thinking them to be like exalted Vaishnavas, then they are practicing cheating religion. And they are misunderstanding the real religion, the real process. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also points out that Bakasura represents the fifth obstacle for Vaishnavas, cheating religion and nam aparad. Therefore, it is important to remove nam aparad. But nam aparad cannot be removed by worshipping a cheating person. If you are chanting Krishna's name and glorifying a cheating person who is calling himself Krishna, then your nam aparad cannot be removed. Nam aparad can only be removed when one gives proper worship to a proper personality who is worthy of receiving such exalted worship. When you worship the proper Vaishnava, the pure sadhu, then your nam aparad can be removed. Try to understand, if you are chanting nam aparad and you continue to chant nam aparad, and you are hearing the chanting of Namaparad from others, then your Namaparad will never go. Namaparad can never be removed by associating with others who are chanting Namaparad. When you say Jai Sisi Gauranithai, Jai Sisi Radha Rastabi Hari, Jai Sisi Ram Lakshman Janaki Hanuman Ki Jai. Only when you hear the pure recitation of the holy name from the lips of a sadhu will you be able to get rid of your Namaparad. Therefore, one has to associate with such exalted personality and get Namaparad removed in this way. If you will worship some unauthorized person, your Namaparads can never be removed. You must worship a pure devotee and hear the recitation of the pure name from his lips. Then, by hearing that, your Namaparad can be gradually decreased and you will come to the platform of Nambath and then Shudanam, pure chanting of the holy name. This is the process by association with sadhu. So Srila Prabhupada is making this point in this particular purport using Bakasura to warn against the worship of unauthorized persons. By worshiping unauthorized persons, persons who will speak that they are Krishna, that they are mystic, that they know everything, they can produce prasadi, they can do this, they can do that. By worship of such persons, then you will be thoroughly condemned. And you are cheating yourself and you are cheating others. So, therefore, one should always take shelter in the proper parampara. One should always worship the authorized persons in the line of pure devotional service coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Rupa Goswami. One who worships in this way and practices devotional service according to the principles which are given, Srila Prabhupada has given us nectar of devotion. The principles of bhakti are given in this book. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada has given us nectar of instruction. In this book, we have been given principles of pure bhakti by Srila Rupa Goswami. So one should follow these principles that are given in these books by Srila Prabhupada. And if one follows the principles that are given there, then one will make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one does not follow these principles that are given in the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we cannot make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. If we try to take shelter of an unauthorized person, then our Krishna consciousness will become spoiled. It is not possible to achieve pure Krishna consciousness without coming in the authorized parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarishayo vidu. In this Bhagavad Gita sloka, Prabhupada makes it very clear in the purport that the knowledge is given in the parampara and one has to receive the knowledge from the parampara. When I was here with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, there was one group, I will not mention the name, but their sannyasis are very strict. They will never look at the face of a woman. If they see the face of a woman, well then they have to fast, even if it is old woman. This is good. Mahaprabhu wanted sannyasis to be strict. So they came up to see Prabhupada. And I took them up to the room to see Srila Prabhupada. So when I took them up to the room to see Srila Prabhupada, so Srila Prabhupada was there with Yasomati Nandan. You remember Yasomati Nandan, Prabhu? And his elderly mother, she was 80 years old. She was actually older than Prabhupada. So she was in the room with Yasomati Nandan seeing Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was speaking to her. So I brought the two sannyasis into the room. They saw that this elderly woman was there talking with Srila Prabhupada. So they all covered their eyes. They left the room. They went down the stairs. So I took them downstairs. When Srila Prabhupada was finished talking with this woman, Yasomati Nandan's mother, then she left. Then I took them back upstairs to see Srila Prabhupada. So they came in, they sat down in the room. So Srila Prabhupada, they told him, oh, we cannot see the face of any woman, we are sannyasi. Prabhupada, yes, I understand. Mahaprabhu was very strict. She is the elderly mother of my disciple. She wanted to talk with me about her son, so I gave a little time to her. But yes, we must be strict like Mahaprabhu. So then Srila Prabhupada, he leaned back in the chair and he began his surgical procedure. So he said, what is the name of your organization? So they told, oh, who is your guru? Oh, we follow this guru. Uh-huh. Which sampradaya is he in? Oh, we have our own sampradaya. Oh, you are not from one of the four sampradaya? No. No, we have our own sampradaya coming from. Sampradaya you must follow according to, huh? Then Prabhupada quoted the verse, huh? Sri Rudra Sanaka Vaishnava Shiti Bhavana, you have to follow the four sampradayas, Brahma Rudra. Huh? So they said, no. Our founder, he is directly Narayan. He is Narayan. He has founded this new sampradaya. Prabhupada said, no. How you know he is a Narayan? Where it is written in Bhagavatam? No, it is written in this another book. Oh, who has written this book? This person. Who is this person? Oh, he is such and such person. Which sampradaya is in? I don't know. Prabhupada, then he just hammered them. Not in sampradaya, speaking bogus, bogus avatar, bogus nonsense, all nonsense. What you are speaking? You are telling me you are following this. All these people are bogus. Unacceptable. Prabhupada just quoting one verse after another, hammering them. Bam, like this. Then they become, oh, Maharaj, we have to go now. We have to leave. In this way, Srila Prabhupada took out the scalpel and he cut them down to size. Oh, you are so proud that you are not ever seeing the face even of such an old woman, but you are not in any authorized sampradaya. You are worshipping a bogus avatar. You are following a bogus guru. You are reading unauthorized scriptures that are not in the parampara, and yet you are so proud of your tapasya. So this is called cheating religion. Cheating religion. And in this cheating religion, people are offering worship to these gurus, and they're offering worship to their deities and the big, big temples that they make everywhere. But they have no authorized parampara, they have no authorized avatar, they have no authorized anything. Everything is based on bogus, based on some nonsense. So why we should accept such persons? So when Srila Prabhupada finished and they left the room, so myself and a few other disciples were in the room. So we began applauding for Prabhupada that, oh, only you can do like this, Srila Prabhupada, only you could take them apart like this and expose their nonsense. So you are the best person. You are the most knowledgeable. No one knows better than you. Prabhupada said, oh, you think so? He was always humble. Said, oh, you think so? You think no one knows better than you? Yes, we are sure of it, that you know the best and no one knows better than you. Oh, okay. If you think so, then that's all right. He was very humble. Even when it was obvious how powerful his knowledge was, transcendental knowledge, how he was able to expose such cheating persons, but still he remained very, very humble. So this is what we should understand from this purport, that we should not come under the sway of Baki Rupi, Bakasura, cheating religion. We should accept the authorized religion and the parampara. We should not be uninformed. We should not be unintelligent. We should be intelligent and worship the proper persons. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that even if you are intelligent enough to understand who is the proper person, and you are worshipping the proper person but for an improper motive, for name, fame, wealth, power, or influence, then this is also not good. This is also cheating religion. One should not worship the authorized persons for mundane accomplishments. One should worship the authorized persons only for the purpose of getting pure bhakti and nothing else. So both of these are two forms of cheating religion. One is cheating religion in which you worship unauthorized persons, and the other is when you worship the authorized persons with an unauthorized motive. Both is considered cheating religion. And one should, this is called the fifth obstacle in the progress of Vaishnavas and bhakti, and one should remove this from his bhakti so that he can make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness by worshipping the authorized devotees in the parampara with the authorized motive of attaining pure devotional service and nothing mundane or material. So any questions that you have? You want to ask any question this morning? No question? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking, it looks like everybody is coming and milking the earth planet for all their, whatever they need, like it is described in this chapter.
Yes.
It's like everything is, Earth is like the storehouse for everything.
You will see as this goes on, when you will come to 20th chapter, when Vishnu appears from the fire yajna, and he asks Prithu Maharaj what boon he wants. Then at that time Prithu Maharaj will tell in the fourth canto, 20th chapter, 25th verse, he will explain what is the boon that he specifically wants. 24 and 25, those two verses, he explains that the boon I want is only to hear the transcendental sound vibration from the lotus lips of sadhu. I don't want anything else. So eventually this all becomes resolved and eventually goes back to the point of Shuddha Bhakti. You will see how it is unravels, how it develops. It is a gradual development. Okay? Yes, ask. What is it? Give him the microphone. What is your point?
Even for people in the heavenly planets or whether they are demons, they all need, it looks like they all need to come here to get what they want.
Yes, this is karmasthan. In the heavenly planets, you enjoy your past purva punya. Previous good works you will enjoy in heaven, and sinful activities when you go to the lower planetary systems, there you will be punished. Okay, so there's a punishment and pleasure in the upper and lower planetary systems, but earth is in the middle. Here is where you can either get the things you want or do the wrong things, which will call, you can either do good works or you can do bad works. All things to be obtained are to be obtained only on this plane of existence, earth plane. It cannot be obtained there, it cannot be removed down there. Everywhere up and down is only for suffering and enjoying. But for obtaining what you want, you must obtain it on this, only on this earthly plane. It cannot be obtained anywhere else. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Any another question? Didi? Mata?
We said that Baba was exposed, and but we find that even now he's still worshipped.
Yes.
So why is this?
Because Srila Prabhupada said this world is the world of cheaters and the cheated. He gave one story. He said that it is a kind of folk tale in India that if a woman is barren and she cannot have a child, so there is some folk tale that if she will have relations with a sadhu, well then she will get child. So there are many women who are barren and they want to get child. So they go to Kumbh Mela where there are so many sadhus, hoping that they can entice one sadhu to have relations with them and then they will get child. So there are many men in India who know that there are women going there for that purpose. So they dress like sadhu and they go there to find such women who are looking for this relation. And then they have relations with them. But these women, they are not understanding that their barrenness has come from their previous karma,
and that having relations with sadhu will not give them baby. So they want to be cheated, and there are persons who want to cheat them. So Prabhupada said, this is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. And so in this way, everyone is getting cheated. So there are always persons who want cheating religion. They want to be able to have their cake and eat it too at the same time. They want to have God, but they want to enjoy their sense gratification. So for those persons who want God and sense gratification, then Krishna tells, Ye yatha mam prapadyante, mam tamstataiva bhajami. I provide you as you worship me, I reward you accordingly. So you want cheating guru, cheating Krishna, you want a bogus God, I will give you. You can have as much as you like. Bogus person, I will give you. It is the desire of the living entities to have this, and Krishna has to provide. He is a non-impartial judge. He is sitting with you in your heart. Paramatma is always there. Paramatma is always ready to give you the real mercy, the real religion, the real Krishna consciousness. He's always ready to give you. But the living entity is trying to eat all the other fruits. So Krishna doesn't interfere. If he interferes, what does that mean? Then he has interfered with your minute independence. He has interfered with your choice. Love is a choice. If I will beat you and say you must love me, that is not love. That is fear. You may supply love to me, but you will supply it out of fear, not real love. That is not love. Love must be spontaneous, must be natural, from the heart. A choice, an independent choice of the living entity. Yes, I love Krishna. I want to love Krishna. I want to love Krishna more than I love anything here in this world. More than I love my husband, my wife, my children, my money, my opulence, my power, my influence, my fame. Whatever I may have, I'm ready to give it up and love only you. When Krishna sees that, then he will come before you. He will become present before you. When he sees that you want nothing but him, then he will come. But in the meantime, if you keep choosing something else, then he will give you that. Okay, you want bogus Krishna? I have one. He's in South India. You can go there and have him. Oh, you want another bogus religion? Yes, I have one in Gujarat. You can go there and have that one also. Whatever you want, I will give you. I will give you what you like. But if you want me, oh, then I am here. I am here in the original parampara. I am in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. I am present and I can come before you in the proper way. If you want me in that way, then I will come. So it is a choice of the living entity to choose love, real love, pure love of Krishna. Does this answer your question? Okay. One more question. Okay. Give him the microphone so he can ask that question. Oh, were you asking question, Radu? I didn't answer your question. Okay, let him ask. Put the mic on.
I met Bhaktivedanta Swami Gurbani, sir. Then he says two sentences. Don't forget Krishna and don't forget Vedic culture of your mind.
Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada, you met Srila Prabhupada. And you asked him a question. And he told you, don't forget Krishna and don't forget Vedic way of life. Yes. So what is the true Vedic way of life? Do you know what is the true Vedic way of life? It is that which is given by parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarishayo vidu. So true Vedic way of life is that which is given to you, the Vedic way of life that is given to you by Guru. Whatever the Guru gives you, that is the pure Vedic way of life. Nothing else is correct. You may be hearing so many things here, there, from different groups, organizations, persons, scholars. Yes, we are great scholars. We have studied all the Vedas, and we have ascertained what is the Vedic way of life. But that is not acceptable. It is not about scholarship. It is about bhakti. It is about pure devotional service. It is about being authorized in the parampara. So the authorized Vedic way of life is given by the sadhu who is in the parampara, the guru in parampara. Srila Prabhupada has given us Daivi Vanashram Dharma, transcendental Vanashram Dharma, in which we engage our senses within our varna or ashram in the service of Krishna in pure bhakti. This is the proper conception of the true Vedic way of life. So if you follow that and always remember Krishna, then you will get so much benefit in this lifetime. Okay? Thank you. Now let him ask his question. That's Prabhu. We'll wait for the microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, I thought he was asking questions. You have one? Okay, all right. You ask, then he will ask. Then we will be finished. Yes.
As I mentioned here, that Kim Purus or
yes.
Kim Purus. So I want to know where exactly situated the King Purusa.
In the fifth canto, Srila Prabhupada explains this, where everything is located. There's different dimensions. Try to understand that the universe is multidimensional, okay? Even within this plane, there are different dimensions that we cannot see. For instance, you will go into the garden, you will spray water, okay? So when you're spraying the water, the ants and other insects are seeing the water coming. All they see is water coming down from the sky. They don't understand where it is coming from. They're running here and there to try and escape the flood. They cannot see you and they cannot comprehend your existence. Does that mean you're not there? You're there. But for them, it is like a different dimension, even though it's within the same plane of existence. Similarly, we look up and we see water coming from the sky. We don't see Indra. We don't see how he is making the water come. Does that mean Indra is not there? He's within this plane, but we cannot conceive his existence because of the fact that he's within a different dimension within the same plane. So there are different varshas within the different planes of this universe within what's called Jambudvip. And although we cannot actually perceive or experience their presence or their existence, they are there. And it is not possible for you to identify them within a physical proximity, as we can say that Asia is here, Europe is there, North America is there, South America is there. That is within a certain plane of existence that we can approximate geographically. Kim Purusha Varsha is also there within this plane, just as Bhart Varsha is within the plane of Jambudvip. But Kim Purusha Varsha is within another plane, but it is in another dimension which we cannot actually access or experience with our present senses, mind, and intelligence. Does that help you to understand better?
Yeah. What are the other verses?
They are all in different dimensions.
Nine verses are there, right?
Yes.
So like Bharat Varsha, Kim Purusha Varsha.
Yes, yes.
And what are the others?
I don't remember all the names of all the Varshas, but they are there in fifth canto. You read fifth canto, you will see.
Then what is the difference between that Kinnar and Ki Purusa? Kinnar, like Kinnar log is there.
Oh, the Kinnaras.
Kinnar and Ki Purusa, what is the difference?
Kinnaras, Prabhupada said the Kinnaras and the Gandharvas, their Kinnaras are very handsome, very beautiful. They're most beautiful people in the universe. Prabhupada said they have wings, they can fly. And like this, they have mystic power also, but different kind of mystic powers. They obtain mystic powers in different ways. There are many entities who have mystic powers. Gandharvas can also fly, they have mystic powers. There are different entities who have mystic powers. But the Kim Purusha Varsha, their mystic powers, I think, are a little bit more in the sense, their conception of them is more mundane. Where the Kinnaras and the others are more devatas, they're more divine. They have belief in Krishna. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he believed in Brahma, but he was against Vishnu. So the Kim Purushas are a little bit more like this. They are accepting mystic powers and mystic yoga practices, but they are not accepting Vishnu. Therefore, cheating religion. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Thanks for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned there are two types of cheating religions. One is worshipping unauthorized person.
Yes.
Other is worshipping authorized person for improper motivation.
With improper motive, yes.
So somebody who chants Hare Krishna in the beginning, he will have definitely not pure devotional service. He will have some material motivation.
Yes, mixed bhakti, yes.
So then how to reconcile this fact that he is also cheating within the parampara?
How can he what? Say it again.
You said that if somebody worships authorized person,
yes,
with an improper motivation, there is not pure devotional service,
yes,
even that is cheating.
Yes.
So we can see if somebody starts chanting Hare Krishna within ISKCON,
yes,
following Prabhupada, it is
chanting,
which is a parampara,
yes,
but then he may not be having the pure motivation of pure devotional service.
Yes.
So even that is cheating.
Correct.
Then in the beginning, everybody is cheating.
Yes. Prabhupada said like this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if you are practicing and bhakti yoga, but you have impure motives, still you are a devotee, but this is not pure devotional service. This is also described in 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, these four verses. So in that 3rd canto, Kapila is explaining to Devahuti in those four verses, persons who are practicing bhakti, but they are influenced by tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun. So, in the verse, 8th verse, which is devotees who are practicing bhakti but influenced by tamagun, they are infected with pride for their personality, anger, violence, and envy. So these are all tamasic, tamagun qualities. So, if some devotee is exhibiting some pride for his personality, if he becomes angry with other devotees, he doesn't show love and affection, or if he even becomes violent with a devotee, or he envies other devotees because of their position, so he speaks ill of them to try and bring them down. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is the one who has stated that of the six anarthas, only envy cannot be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Narottam Das Thakur is the one who made this statement. He said, envy is the only anartha which cannot be dovetailed. So one who has these qualities, even though they're devotees, still they have improper motives. They cannot obtain pure devotional service unless they remove this tamagun influence. Then in the Rajagun verse, 9th verse of that chapter, those who are looking for name, fame, profit, adoration, distinction, well, these are all Rajagun qualities. So if someone is practicing bhakti, this is also described in Madhurya Kadambini. It is called Charanga Rangani, the waves of that when one becomes a little bit advanced in bhakti, so people start giving lots of facility to that person. They give them so many, they give them gifts, they give them money, they give them facilities, a nice room, a nice place. So if the devotee is not careful and he's not observing and doesn't remain humble, then he can become overwhelmed by the adoration. And he can think, yes, I want more of this. This is good. So this is Rajagun. This is not proper motive. Then if one is worshipping according to their varna or ashram and offering the fruit of their work to Krishna, but keeping little bit something for themselves. So this is bhakti in the influence of sattvagun. So these three verses explain bhakti under the influence of modes of nature and explain the impure motive. You understand? So by association of a pure devotee who has no impure motive, whose motives are pure, then one can remove his impure motives. One has to associate with a pure sadhu. Then the modes of material nature will be removed. You understand? By the mercy of the sadhu, these impure motives will gradually be reduced by His blessings, by His mercy. So this is the process. That is why it is mentioned also by Kapila Dev that one has to associate with the sadhu. Yeah, he talks about this in one verse, explaining that this is the most important thing, association with pure Vaishnavas. He gives this in 29th chapter of third canto. Okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate your good questions. Shows that you are listening and understanding with great intelligence. Thank you for your association. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.